Good morning, everyone. If we could start to take our seats, we can begin. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. If we could please take our seats and get positioned so we can begin. We're already a little bit past time. We've got a very full morning ahead of us to include the work of this working group. And then afterwards, we will be having a meeting with the review team that's doing the first review of the affirmation of commitments. So, and in between there, we hope to be able to take at least one break where we can people can get a little bit of comfort. So, I will turn the discussion of this morning's agenda strategy over to Heather. First of all, let me introduce myself. For those of you that don't know me or don't remember me, I'm Ray Polzak, a member of the board. And the fellow board members that are members of this group, starting from the end here, is Jean-Jacques, Ram, and Katim. And so, Heather.
Thank you, Ray, and good morning, everyone. My name is Heather Dryden, and I'm the Canadian GAC representative, so I'm co-chairing this joint working group on behalf of the GAC. The plan for this morning, we are projecting, as you can see, the draft report. I know it is difficult to see the screen, but we will try to manage. There should be hard copies for most of you, and I understand there are a few extras up at the front here for those of you that don't have a hard copy but would like one. Because there are particular parts of the report of greatest interest to the review team, we're going to focus on those here. So we're going to look at Objective 1, GAC Advice to the Board, Objectives 2 and 3, which concerns GAC liaisons, and Objective 6, which relates to the policy development process first. And we'll see how far we can get. We're not really set up to negotiate text or all of this text per se, but clearly if there are key points missing from the background, if you think that there are things that need to be corrected or adjusted, and particularly relating to the options and recommendations we've identified in the draft, then please do speak up. You will also notice that Ray sent to the list board responses to some of the questions the joint working group had asked the board to respond to. And so hard copies are being printed up of that and distributed. It does mean then that we will need to try and integrate those board responses into this text as well this morning. I'm asking Ray to lead that effort with his board colleagues, but of course we will all work together to try and integrate those answers. We will try to find an appropriate moment to have a break. We are aware that we're scheduled to go from 9 to 12 as the joint working group and straight into a 30-minute meeting with the review team. So we will try to take some breaks mid-morning and perhaps transitioning to meeting with the review team. So without any further delay, let's start with Objective 1, which is concerning GAC advice to the board. I will try to introduce the key points, and then we can discuss. Okay, so in this section, in this draft, we have tried to describe what constitutes GAC advice, and we are saying that any explicit advice in any written form constitutes the kind of advice foreseen in the bylaws, and we provide some examples of that advice, written advice. Then we point out that the bylaws refer to public policy advice in particular, and so that's the basis on which the GAC understands it is to provide advice, and that's also how we see our main task, our main role here at ICANN. However, there is another kind of advice that we do give from time to time, and that relates more to the effectiveness of ICANN's procedures in support of those policy development processes. We also note that the GAC chair provides verbal advice, and there are two kinds of advice there. in the first instance. The GAC is GAC chair is expected to represent agreed GAC views. And also, the GAC chair does need to provide advice that relates more to procedural kinds of issues. Then we explain that because policy development at ICANN is such an iterative process, that advice comes in pieces and develops over time as new information becomes available, and we are able to respond and reflect throughout that process, and that needs to be taken into account in understanding the nature of GAC advice. We're also describing referencing, perhaps, that in our operating principles, the GAC seeks consensus first, but we do have the option of presenting a range of views, and then the report describes some of the advantages of working towards consensus and how we anticipate that it would be useful to the board to receive that kind of advice. Then we talk about the board and how they might notify the GAC, again referencing the bylaws, of the need to receive GAC advice because there is a public policy aspect to an issue that has arisen. And here, actually, we're suggesting or pointing out that there isn't a register that tracks that kind of advice being issued to the GAC. And that suggests that that tracking, receiving that advice and what follows it might be a way to ensure that the GAC advice is taken into account and that there is understanding on both sides, the GAC and the board, about the status of that advice. And then we outline the board process for receiving GAC advice or point to at least a few examples of where we could perhaps observe how well those processes are working. And then we talk about conflicting advice. And that, of course, we have since had a response to from the board, so we would want to take into account feedback that we have received from the board. And then we have the options at the end of that section, in particular suggesting that a register or consistent record could be created, that the board could consider submitting written regular requests for advice to the GAC so it's clear to the GAC when they are being asked under the bylaws to provide advice. It also notes that the GAC has been considering whether to create a working group to review the operating principles following the work of this joint working group, and that, of course, they can look at aspects of those operating principles that relate to this discussion, and also proposes that the GAC could identify consistent methods of notating written advice, because we have heard from board colleagues that anything we can do to make it clear in terms of how we notate written documents, that would be of use to them. So, any comments or thoughts on this section? Are there key pieces missing, things that you would like to suggest, adjust, etc.? Please. Comments? Okay. please, European Commission.
Thank you. I'll just briefly fill the silence while everyone's thinking. Just to say that I was actually very impressed with the briefing of this document as a whole, and this is a very good example, actually. I think a lot of care has been taken, really, to take account of the inputs of people over the last year or so, so I'd like to express my appreciation. But my silence, other than that, isn't because I'm not interested in this, because I'm very happy with this text. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Anyone else? Please.
Thank you. My name is Ashwin from Indonesia. Just a comment that in addition to the how the GAC can work together to give advice whatsoever, I just wonder also wonder how we can discuss also the relationships between the government in each country, which the that country's organizations that looks after many ICANN activities, whether it is the NIC, whether it is the registry, because in many countries it is also run by several organizations, and they are doing the coordination directly between their those organizations which ICANN. Now I would like to see how the ICANN and GAC cooperations can be then translated into the regional cooperations between those organizations doing the ICANN activities with the local government. So that's more or less we would like to see to discuss how things would like to.
Thank you. Any other comments? Norway, please.
Thank you, Heather. I also wanted to say that this is quite a comprehensive list, and I think also it has managed to cover the aspects, I think, that we all think of what is GAC advice and the different ways that is given as such. Especially, I think, also what you say here, what constitutes GAC advice, and I think that also is very correct, that we all have operated on the basis of that any kind of document that we have given is GAC advice, but of course it's not explicitly described the different types of advice, but we have all operated on that principle that this is GAC advice. So I think it's a quite a comprehensive and good list and covers a lot of those issues needed to be covered. So thanks.
Thank you, Norway. UK, please, and then United States.
Thank you, Heather, and I share the views expressed by the European Commission that this is a very impressive and thorough first draft, and it covers the range of issues and seeks to make recommendations and so on in a very effective way, very clearly written way, clearly presented too. I just had one question on this issue of GAC consensus, and the possibility that if consensus isn't reached by the GAC, then a full range of views can be presented to the board. That's quite a rare thing to happen, isn't it? I can't recall when we've done that in conveying just once. Possibly it's happened. Stefano has just whispered in my ear. And then that raises the question, given that the GAC membership is continuing to expand, and that's a very welcome evolution of the GAC and its status in representing the interests of internet users worldwide, the GAC membership continues to increase. The question is raised whether this is going to be an increasingly apparent feature of GAC deliberations, that a consensus can't be reached as a result of the sheer number of participants. The likelihood of that strikes me as possibly increasing. And if we were then to give an account of a diversity of views in advising the board, how then does the board react to that? How would it respond to a more than one position being presented by the GAC? I wonder if that is an issue looking ahead to expand further in this document. Thank you.
Ray, I believe you would like to respond to that.
Regarding the inability to provide a consensus opinion to the board, the board would, this is my opinion of observing the board in action, the board would rather have some information rather than no information. And so that if opposing views, or not necessarily opposing, but contentious views are present inside the GAC and the GAC cannot reach consensus on it, it would be better for the board to know what these views are, and so that they at least have that much information, and it would help them a little bit in their deliberations and to arrive at a conclusion whether or not they should attempt to take some sort of action or to continue to wait. Jean-Jacques?
Yes, if I may add just a word on this. Actually, there are two aspects to look at. One is legal, the other is political. Legal meaning, of course, the board does not have the possibility to react to an advice which is not unanimous or which is not delivered as a unanimous position. I think that's quite clear. The other is political. There's no way the board would take the risk, of course, of acting in one direction to the displeasure or to the discontent of another part of the membership. So this boils down actually to the status of what you are communicating to the board. If it's advice, I'm not the legal specialist of the board, but I'd say that if you are delivering it in the form of advice, then I'd suggest you think of consensus as the only possibility. However, if you want to convey information to us, then that's much more open. I hope this helps.
That's where I was going with my statements. Basically, we would rather have some information rather than no information.
The United States, please.
Excuse me. Thank you, Heather. I, too, would like to concur with my colleagues who've commented on the thoroughness of this text. So thank you very much for providing that. I do have a question, if I may, to the board. In scanning the responses we got, there is a sentence here that says, the GAC does not clearly indicate when they are providing advice. And so there clearly seems to be a, dare I say, disconnect between the sentiments expressed by on the GAC side, which I believe Ornulf put it very well. We have all assumed that whenever we put pen to paper and it's committed to writing, that's advice. So are we to understand that we need to label everything we write as advice? What would you find helpful? Because I confess, I found this statement actually very stark. So it would be helpful to understand that means we have spent 11 years putting pen to paper, and it is now that we're getting the feedback that the board isn't entirely clear when they get advice and when they do not. So I think this is a very useful opportunity for us to understand exactly how things need to be characterized and to perhaps set up, as I believe our text proposes, some better method of tracking so that we understand what the reaction has been, how the communication, the advice is considered, and what the next steps are. Thank you.
it goes exactly to the point, to that point, which is that there's an assumption being made that everything you say is advice, whereas it may not necessarily be clear that advice is being directed towards a specific policy discussion. So some things may be viewed, they're viewed in your eyes as advice because this is a position that we are taking with regard to this, and that's why you have all agreed to this particular paper. But it's not always clear whether or not that what's being received may or may not be an observation or something that doesn't necessarily need to be acted upon. So, but in the end, everything is listened to, and everything is taken into consideration. So, so there is some confusion by some people with that regard, and that's all that statement was intended to mean.
U.S., did you want to respond to that?
Thank you. I was hoping to perhaps have an example, because again, I think you've captured the essence of the problem, but it's a fairly fundamental issue for us, I think. The time and effort that we put into collaborating around the table to try to arrive at consensus views, and even on those occasions when we may not be able to, we do think there's value to you of conveying a range of views. But if I may say, it would be helpful for us to understand when something has appeared to the board as simply a collection of observations versus something that we might consider advice. Because I think when we come to these meetings, there's an enormous investment of resources by every single government to get people here, to have done their homework, to come together, to arrive at consensus positions. So I think it is, if I may say it, it's a little bit shocking to hear after all this time that it's not been clear, and then to realize that on those occasions when it hasn't been clear, I guess we would have expected or we would have appreciated knowing that at that point in time instead of being sort of alerted to this now. I mean, it's a good time for us to tackle this, but if I could just say for the record, it would have been helpful to have known a little bit earlier on.
Let me go first real quick. The point is that there are things that are stated in your various written documents that may or may not directly address a matter that is of concern at the moment to the board. And all this material is accepted. In future deliberations where a matter may come up where you have previously communicated about it, one of the questions that generally gets asked is, what does the GAC say about this? At which time the GAC liaison has been very effective in saying, well, the GAC in this communique such and such has said this. At that point in time, it could be construed and taken as advice because now we know what the GAC position on that is. But at the time it was received, it has not directly affected a matter that it was of particular concern at that moment to the board. So that is, and it's not always clear whether or not in some cases that the GAC is calling for action on something, as opposed to saying this is what we see, this is and so forth, is not necessarily included in there as a recommendation for the board to do something. And so that is the nature of that comment. Katim, did you want to add anything?
If I may assert my prerogative as co-chair, I have a long list of speakers that have been in the queue for some time, if that's all right.
Fine.
I have New Zealand, Denmark, Italy, Netherlands, Portugal, France, Sweden, European Commission, and Brazil. So we will begin. New Zealand, please.
Thank you, co-chair. I'd like to join the people who've congratulated the team on such a useful, the working group on such a useful draft document. It makes a number of valuable points extremely well. The two points I think that have emerged in the discussion so far, both of them important. One is the importance of consensus, but equally the need to provide timely advice in those circumstances where there is unfortunately no consensus emerging, where there is a genuine divergence of views around the table. It's always difficult to decide at which point it's necessary to give up on consensus. Often consensus is possible with time, and there's a trade-off between time, consensus, and a divergence of views. That, of course, is an issue for the GAC, and particularly for skillful chairing of the GAC, but nevertheless, the balance should be as far as possible towards consensus rather than a divergence of views, if possible, and that is difficult. But being able to express, as I think Suzanne said very well, a divergence of views on occasion is useful. The second point is related to that, and it also comes out of something Suzanne said, which is this point about, but it's really a question, the comment about notation, identified consistent methods of notating written GAC advice. Now, I take it this is, and correct me if I'm wrong, an attempt to decide when there's advice, when there is consensus advice, when there is a divergence of views, when there's information, and when there's some other sort of comment going to the board. Am I correct about that? And is the board or is the joint working group suggesting here that a consistency of language on the part of the GAC in providing its written communiques would be helpful in clarifying these issues? Is that what the point is? Thank you.
Thank you, New Zealand. Next we have Denmark.
Thank you, Chair. I would also like to join colleagues in saying thanks for this thorough draft, which covers the most important issues, and especially it's very important to clarify what constitutes the GAC advice. And I would like to echo my colleagues here saying that I'm a bit worried about hearing that what has just been written from the board about what constitutes GAC advice, because our opinion is that every single thing most that we write or have written to the board or sent letters, various kinds, are GAC advice. And yeah, thanks.
Thank you, Denmark, Italy, and then the Netherlands.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Going to the basic point of consensus, that is certainly important, especially if we look at the future, considering that the GAC participation increases and that the attention on what the GAC does is, of course, increasing and will increase. So, basically, in the GAC, we have been, we almost never vote, or we acclaim the new elected officers and so on. But it is true that with at least in the GAC communique, there was only one exception in the past. In the other form of GAC advice is more subtle. What I want to stress and to make a question to the board is the fact that for certain issues, the governments could give some comments outside of the GAC. Take the example of .x66. At the time when we discussed that, there have been interventions of the government coming directly to ICANN, not through the GAC. And this is something that makes the plot a little bit more complicated for the board. And then we have to recall that in any case the board is voting on issues, and then it is something that the results might come out considering all the inputs from the GAC and from other governments, but there is no guarantee that in the end the let's say, the perception of the government opinion will prevail. So this is a very subtle situation, and it would be interesting also to know, take the example of notice of inquiry, of questions that are asked to the community, and then there are also responses from the single governments on certain issues. And then in those cases, what is the preparation for decisions of the board? Could the board signify to the GAC, hey, look, that you have 12 opinions expressed by governments in this notice of inquiry, then try to reach consensus on a position? So I agree with Jean-Jacques when he says that the optimal situation for the board is to have a consensus of the governments through the GAC. So this is a very important point that maybe merits some analysis into depth in the text. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Italy. We have the Netherlands and then Portugal.
Thank you, Heather. And thanks to you and to Ray and all the others who contributed to this paper. I think it's very useful, and already this discussion on objective one about the GAC advice is proving to be very useful. And I'm also surprised to hear that not all our advice has been identified as such. So I think we should elaborate on this. I know there are a lot of other speakers, so I will keep it short. I have a more procedural question, and that is about the fact that on the end of objective one, we speak about options, because the board didn't... I don't know how it is written here, but because the board will wish to further clarify matters, is it the goal that we have recommendations on the end of all objectives, or will it keep being options? So that's a question for qualification. Thank you.
Thank you for that question. When this was drafted, we didn't have responses from the board to the questions we had asked about GAC advice to the board. So this was wording to try and accommodate that fact. So that can certainly be adjusted as we need. And if it is the will of the joint working group to make recommendations rather than options, absolutely, we can determine that today. So. Portugal, please.
Well, thank you very much. Let me tell you that since I personally joined GAC 2 years ago, it surprised me how long it was taking the board to pay attention to whatever I thought were GAC recommendations and advice. And as a matter of fact, I always thought that whatever was sent by letter or in the communiques of face-to-face meetings was precisely GAC advice. Then I discovered that some of the issues that had been raised by GAC some time before finally went into the agenda, were discussed, mainly because in other groups of the ICANN world, the issues popped up and the difficulties were faced into. This happened with IDNs, it happened with GTLDs, with questions of the protection of trademarks, with questions of protection of geographic names, quite often, let's say. It's no surprise that people who represent governments somehow, by their usual posture, can anticipate part of the difficulties in policy setting, because in our own countries we have to face precisely bringing together different interests, different positions, and so on. So I think the whole process would improve a lot if actually the suggestions that come from GAC are looked at very seriously by the board from the very beginning. Now, I finally understand why this is not happening, apparently because what we think is advice is looked at as maybe communique statements for the press or whatever, for the public, I don't know. So I propose a very simple solution, is that in each written statement that the GAC produces, it explicitly states that it is also advice to the board, and then the problem is solved.
Thank you, Portugal. Next we have France and then Sweden.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I join others to thank you for the good starting work. I'd like to maybe go back to basics. The question is fundamentally that the GAC is an advisory body. That's the way it's called. And hence, everything that it produces is non-binding. That's the meaning of advisory body. And hence, the word advice has been used. But I'm not sure that it is actually something that is a label. I would concur with most of my colleagues saying basically anything we give to the ICANN community or to the board is, if I want to really be blunt, no more than an advice, because as an advisory body, we cannot do more than an advice. We cannot veto. We cannot, in legal terms. So anything we do is just advice. But I would suggest that everything we do is a part of advice. But I'd like to go a little bit further down, because this is a matter of how things are worded. If the GAC says, the GAC unanimously strongly objects to the board doing X, Y, or Z, or if the GAC says, in the course of the consultations of the PDP on whatever, we suggest that you consider the idea of exploring the possibility of creating a working group. I mean, both are advices, but I hope that the board and the interlocutors understand that there's a nuance there. So we had discussed before the notion of labeling or typology. I think it would be dangerous to try to have too strong typologies. But it is clear that it is a good faith dialogue between the GAC and the board and other interlocutors to understand what people want to communicate, even request clarification and so on. So the whole thing is about the dialogue and the interaction and the contribution. And so it is the responsibility of the GAC to find in each document that is produced the exact level of strength regarding how important we consider this element to be. This is why we label the new GTLD and WIS principles, principles. It indicates that it is much more than a comment and a contribution that can be completely overturned. I mean, we don't have what we call in French science infuse. It's just a contribution sometimes, and maybe we're wrong. But in the process, the discussion will show that it can be different. So the whole debate is about developing progressively an understanding of what the wordings that we use mean in terms of how strongly we want it to be taken into account. The second thing, quickly, is we had the example yesterday in the GAC GNSO interaction regarding the new GTLD process, among other things, that very strongly came out of the meeting, the notion that, oh, it's so bad that we didn't have the opportunity to talk to one another earlier on. And I still keep a lot of concern regarding the notion that the single role of the GAC is to advise the board, just like as a consultant, as I saw in the document of a famous international organization based in Geneva at the moment. The GAC is not a consultant to the board. It is a full stakeholder group interacting with the community. And the more we develop the capacity to interact with the rest of the community and coming in into the processes, the better. So it's not only advice to the board, it's contributions to processes. And I hope we'll come to that later as well. Thank you.
Thank you for that, France. Next I have Sweden and the European Commission. Then I have Brazil, Jean-Jacques, and Japan. in the speaking order. If we can make comments on whether there should be options or recommendations, or whether you would want to change what's drafted, by all means, do comment on that.
Thank you very much, Heather, and good morning, everybody. I would like to join and echo a lot of my colleagues here around the table, what they've been saying. And I also think that actually the report, the draft joint working group report, it covers pretty much the concerns I'm having during the time. And I was also very surprised, actually, when I read that that the GAC does not clearly indicate when they are providing advice. And I very much agree with Portugal. Like, after these long, many years, it's a bit surprising that this suddenly comes up now. I mean, it would have been better if that would have been clear from the beginning. And maybe it is the case that we have some, because we work for the governments, we have certain maybe governmental language. So maybe that could be some other thing that makes it unclear. And I also have a question, actually. Do the board have the same kind of problem with other advisory groups, that they not clearly indicate whether there are some advice? So that is a question to the board. And to going back to the document, when I read the response from Ray or from the board, I also understand that, or hope that, these questions and statements, for instance, whether it's advice or not, coming from GAC, is taken care of in the document. So it's a drafting issue here. Does the board feel that we have to change things and there has to be changes in this drafting report to actually meet up to the questions they have? In that case, I would like to see those changes, because in my view, it's taken care of already. But when I read the response from the board after the drafting, after this draft, if I understand it correctly, then I would like to see what the changes need to be able to clarify this. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Sweden. European Commission.
Thank you. Yes, I'd also, I won't repeat at length, actually, what people have already said. I'd also like to express a degree of concern, actually, about the assertion that the GAC does not clearly indicate when they're providing advice. And that's for the same reasons. I mean, I've been coming 5 or 6 years now, and we have multiple interactions at every meeting with the board and with senior ICANN staff and junior ICANN staff. This is the first time this claim has ever been made. There's been plenty of opportunities for people to tell us, and there's a clear understanding that when we write a communique or we send a letter, that's advice. It's clear in the sense that we often refer to it as advice in our interactions with the board and with senior staff members, and they've never questioned that. So I think we have a right to a presumption that our understanding actually was correct. This was advice, because it's never been contradicted. And so I'm very surprised about that. I'm also very surprised, actually, in the sense that my understanding for the board to take account of GAC advice is a legal requirement under the bylaws. If there has been any doubt about whether they're receiving advice or not from us, should they not have, in terms of fulfilling their legal obligations, have sought clarification? Or, to be frank, didn't they care, or they just chose to ignore it? Was it convenient? I mean, I am surprised, actually, if this doubt existed, actually, given the legal obligations of the board and the staff to execute their responsibilities under the bylaws, that they didn't actually seek clarification on this. My last point actually refers to a comment made about, I think from Jean-Jacques, actually, about the fact that GAC advice is useful when it's consensual. I understand that point. I think you went a bit further than that in saying it's only advice if it's consensual, if there's a unanimity from it. Perhaps, and I apologize, actually, if you didn't say that. The only observation I wanted to make is that the bylaws make no recommendation, actually, as to what should constitute GAC advice. And it does say, however, that the GAC can set its own operating principles. And we've done that, and the operating principles say, actually, that the chair will report a range of views to the board. So I'd argue that that's advice. And, sorry, one very small last point. I think we should be careful, actually. I mean, there have been very interesting comments about advice and what constitutes advice. in my opinion, for what it's worth, advice doesn't just include directions or requests to the board for some action. It would include information. You can make observations, you can provide information when you're giving advice to somebody. So I don't think we should get hung up with this differentiation. I think formal communications from the GAC to the board should be considered as falling under this chapter. And that's the working assumption we've had. Maybe it's incorrect, but I'm a bit shocked to hear that after 11 years of GAC interactions with the board, that it's only coming up now. The suggestion, Heather, you mentioned we should look at the text. My suggestion should be here in this part is that we should say, during the process of drafting the Joint Working Group report, the board members have expressed the opinion that the GAC does not clearly indicate when they are providing advice, because that's not our opinion. And I think we should avoid, in a joint report, indicating this is a common view that we have. Thank you very much.
Thank you for that, European Commission. Before we move to Brazil, Ray has asked to respond to your point. I will also invite board members, as we move through the speaking order, to reflect upon the suggestion that Bildi from the European Commission is making. Okay, so Ray, please.
Specifically to your point about the legal aspects of it, the board takes all of that very, very seriously, to the point that in some of our deliberations yesterday during our workshop, we actually at that point in time said, well, you need to follow the bylaws here to get advice from the GAC on this particular matter. And so that is an example of how serious we take this. Clearly, as we go through every one of our deliberations and discussions, we always have a mind to what the GAC has said on things. And so we go back and we get information from past communiques that may be relevant to a current discussion so that we have an idea at least of what the GAC was thinking at the time, so that we know that whether or not that would be sufficient for what we're working with or whether or not we need to ask the GAC for further advice in this matter. So I just want to assure you that from the standpoint of legally doing what we are entitled to do, we take this matter very, very seriously, and we have never ignored the GAC advice from that perspective.
Brazil, please.
Thank you. I'd like to congratulate for the nice job we have here and the nice text. I had some questions to do, but I think they are related to later topics, so I would prefer to make my statement afterwards. Thank you.
Okay. Next we have Jean-Jacques, then Japan, then the United States.
I'll start with an anecdote, but it's quite serious. Some time ago, in the capital where I'm currently living in Eastern Europe, someone had the good idea late at night to steal a section of cable, and since then the house has been deprived of telephone lines and internet connection. I don't offer this as an excuse, but this kind of thing happens, and it may be one of the reasons why I overlooked, because I was so preoccupied with other things, I overlooked what Suzanne very rightly pointed out as really an important point this morning. And I would like to make amendment, as far as I'm concerned, as an individual member of this joint working group, to say that I should have noticed this, especially given my professional background, but I had failed to do this in time. Now, I think that what we're up against is that we are analyzing the past. So far, what I've heard is mainly the past. And you're right. May I suggest that we look at the present and the future, because there is a whole new setup now. As you remember, the President's strategy group of ICANN had suggested quite a few things, among others also regarding the importance of GAC in the whole ICANN structure. And many of these suggestions, not only about GAC, but many of the suggestions of the PSC were taken over in the AOC, Affirmation of Commitments. So I think we have to put this in perspective and say that it's work in progress. We as a board should be extremely thankful for the advice which is given to us, including this morning, in no uncertain terms, and we should work on that. And this is actually an ever-growing obligation for us. It's not a choice or an option. It's an obligation for us to consider with more care the place of GAC and the role of GAC in the whole of ICANN. And I think that one of the main things which comes out of the AOC is actually the growing recognition of the role of sovereign states in the formulation of public policy in the framework of ICANN. So, what do I take away from this discussion so far? I would suggest, I cannot speak on behalf of the working group, of which I am just a member, but I would humbly suggest that we take away with us the advice we have received this morning and work on it, because it's very serious. And I think that we should hear especially what Stefano, Bertrand, Bill, and others have said, make clear that whatever the formulation, advice, or anything else, a reaction or a statement by the GAC has to be followed up in all circumstances. Now, the important thing underlined by Stefano and touched upon briefly by Bertrand is, I think, of paramount importance from our point of view on the board side. It's, of course, that whereas we have to take utmost care in addressing your requests or demands or advice, in the end, there may be cases where we would not follow, for other reasons, where we would not follow the advice of the GAC. But it should not be through neglect or failure to completely take on board, without any play on words, to take on board your advice. It is of a different nature, which then becomes legal. It is the locus of decision, because of accountability, rests with the board. That was my suggestion. Thanks.
Thank you for that, Jean-Jacques. That was a very helpful comment. Next, we have Japan, the United States, and then Kitim. Japan, please.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to very quick comment on this report. I appreciate the very excellent document. And I feel that what is the most important is to establish a concrete procedure between the concrete procedure to process the interaction, GAC advice, and board consideration, the decision making. So we should share the concrete mechanism to do that, and that should be encouraged in this report. Thank you.
Thank you, Japan. The United States, please.
Thank you, and apologies for taking the mic again. I did just want to make a comment. It is so self-evident, but I think we're all realizing that maybe what we take for granted as being well understood is perhaps not, so it may be worth restating. I think the reason we take our responsibility so seriously as an advisory body is because the bylaws provide us. The provisions in the bylaws say that we provide advice to the board. There is no other entity in the ICANN community that has any obligation to entertain GAC advice. Nobody. When we have worked jointly with the CCNSO on the IDN fast track, that was a joint decision to undertake the work jointly. And that was a very constructive procedure. Worked very, very well. The other primary policymaking body in ICANN is the GNSO. And while we have always had regular exchanges and we find them very fruitful, those exchanges do not constitute the in for the GAC into the policy development process. So it's, in a way, we're a little bit constrained, and I thought it was worth restating that. Yes, we interact with the community, but the only people who have any obligation to pay attention is the board. So that's why our goal is, well, we'll give you this, board. We would like you to help pass the message down. We have a few examples of those things. But as Jean-Jacques says, I think we need to look forward. How can we improve this somewhat triangular structure so that we have some confidence that what we are offering up is not only conveyed to you, but also conveyed further throughout the community? Some of that we do ourselves, we understand. But those entities are under no obligation to factor GAC views into their proceedings. So, thank you.
Thank you for that, Suzanne. That sounds like quite a clear recommendation to add something to the text, so that that can certainly be noted unless I hear otherwise. So I invite colleagues to reflect on that. Now we have Katim, and then we have France, and then we have Latvia.
Thanks, Heather, and good morning, everyone. I'd like to comment a little bit about the present ongoing discussions on the issue of GAC advice to the board. It's clear to me that I think we have been operating on a tacit assumption of what constitutes advice, even though just a cursory look at what the information is available to us here indicates that some of the key documents that we rely on in moving the discussion forward really have been very mute on the issue of what constitutes advice. Very briefly, if you look at the first page of the draft report that we are looking at here, the paragraph that says what constitutes GAC advice clearly indicates in the first sentence, the last section of it, last stanza says, but well, let me just read the whole sentence. It says the bylaws require the board to take due amount of account of GAC advice, but do not provide a detailed definition of what constitutes GAC advice or place any limitation on what form such advice should take. If you also look at the GAC principles and the GAC operating principles, let me just do that very briefly. Annex 12, which talks about Article 12, I beg your pardon, talks about the provision of advice to the ICANN board. And I'm reading here principle number 6, that it says advice from GAC to the ICANN board shall be communicated to the chair. Principle 47 says the GAC shall work to achieve consensus, blah, blah. And then principle 48 says the GAC may deliver advice on any other matter within the functions, and on and on. In other words, we keep talking about advice, without really taking the trouble, in my opinion, to formally decide in black and white what exactly we mean by advice. And I think this here is an opportunity for us to present a case to revisit the bylaws with a specific view toward a specific aim, rather, of having a better and more clear definition of exactly what advice means and how it is that such advice can be communicated or maybe communicated to the ICANN board. Along the lines of what has been suggested, somebody has suggested, and in fact, this draft document that we have has one of the options. One of the options is that we identify consistent methods of notifying written GAC advice to the board. And so I think what we can do is let's maybe come up with a system whereby we say wherever GAC is writing to the board, it's clearly in the header says this is advice, this is opinion, or whatever it is it chooses to label the document. But the important thing is that at the end of the day, we have a modus operandi that we all agree on should form the basis of communication between the GAC and the board. And I think finally, I don't know about you, but I think maybe there is need to close the loop. We keep talking about GAC advice to the board, and somebody has just complained that the board takes time, to respond to GAC advice, and frequently, in fact, only those that after some other constituencies have raised similar concerns that GAC has expressed. And I think one thing what we can do is, in addition to talking about GAC providing advice to the board, we should talk about what then are the obligations of the board in reporting back to GAC to inform it of what it has done or what has transpired with the advice that has received from the GAC. And I think that we would have a veritable feedback loop, and I think it will be much healthier for the relationship and the effectiveness of the work that GAC and the board will be doing. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Kateem. To your first point, I think we have had some discussions within the working group, within the GAC, about the word advice, and we seem to come to the conclusion that that it is a very general term, and that there wasn't necessarily an obstacle to using this word. We've heard today that opinions, information, observation, thoughts, recommendations, meditations, you know, this can all be considered advice. Portugal, for example, suggested that we note explicitly if this really is going to be clarifying for the board, you know, every time we draft something that we say this is, you know, GAC advice to the board. And that would actually, in effect, sidestep this challenge of defining what is really quite a general term. Anyway, those are my thoughts. So next we have, Ray has asked to respond to the point made by the United States, and then we will move to France, Latvia, and then Rom would like to speak.
Thank you, Heather. Going to your point about the GAC providing only advice to the board and not being directed to provide advice to anybody else. Anyone else has having to receive it. Implicit in the policy development process, as it exists throughout the various ICANN organizations, is a requirement to take into consideration all opinions and all stated things. And so it's implicit. However, I think that your point is well taken, that it probably should be some explicit statements in this regard. And so that because of the implicity, there's always a question that is always asked, have all viewpoints been considered? And so it implicitly happens, but I think that your point is well taken, that there probably should be some sort of explicit statement. And also in that regard, this is probably some place where the liaisons to the various supporting organizations and advisory committees could become more effective in that role. So, but I do agree that the explicit statement probably would be in order.
Thank you very much for that, Ray. Just a comment. We seem to be coming to some concluding points, which is great. It is about 20 past 10. I understand there is coffee available at 10:30. So if that motivates us to move through this section before break, then so be it. Okay, so next we have France and then Latvia.
Thank you, and apologies for taking the mic again. When in a marriage or a relationship the interaction goes mostly through lawyers, it's a bad sign. And so I think one of our goals going into the lines of Jean-Jacques in terms of interaction between the GAC and the board is to make them as fluid as possible, as often as possible, as direct as possible, and as informal as possible. Because the earlier they come, the earlier the interaction, the feedback, the easier it is to debug the problems that will emerge afterwards. The typical example was a discussion yesterday on morality and public order. Clearly, this topic has been left on the side until right now, and everybody's discovering that it's actually causing more problems than it should have. So this is a way to say that we should try to avoid having extremely formalized thing like big letterheads that says this constitutes GAC advice with a seal on it and that is transmitted through an official notary. This is not the way we expect, or at least I expect, the interaction between the GAC and the board. On the other hand, and this is probably a response to Kateem, there are clear situations when the GAC, in the course of the document, will say, this should be considered as a GAC advice on policy issue that
requires application of the article of the bylaws that asks the board to explain why it doesn't follow it, if it doesn't follow it, for instance. But this is part of the flexibility. I would encourage the introduction in the joint in report of anything that goes in the direction of as flexible interaction and as frequent interaction with the board as possible, and as clear as possible formulations in the GAC productions of the exact strength of the advice. And the second thing quickly is related to what Suzanne was mentioning, and the fact that basically this organization is not joined at the hip, it's joined at the top. Everything basically seems to circulate from one constituency to the other through the board, which adds a burden on the board and is not beneficial to the interaction. The GAC, either collectively or sometimes individually through individual governments, has contributed on the mailing list for public comment on certain number of processes. To say things a little bit bluntly, and this has nothing to do with the board, I didn't have the impression that the comments of a constituted public authority on a public comment list was always taken into account in the summaries with the same caution as a single individual registrant comments that happened to go in the direction that was expected by the staff. I have had a personal experience in that respect that was relatively painful in a complete misinterpretation of something that was relatively clear. So in that respect, it's about also adding the participation and the capacity of the GAC and the governments to interact in the processes, and I think it's one element that is beyond the relationship with the board, that is the relationship with the policy development process reform in the GNSO. But it would be interesting to develop a little bit further the part at the end of the report that deals with the relationship with the other entities. Thank you.
Thank you for that, France. Final speakers, Latvia, Ram, and then Sri Lanka. And then I will try to make some concluding points. Ah, Norway, before I do that. Okay. Latvia, please.
Thank you, Heather. Suzanne took words out of my mouth. I wanted to speak about exactly about what she said, and therefore I will speak in favor of what she said, as well as what Jean-Jacques mentioned. If we look in the history of the GAC, we have came from the point where GAC was perceived as an outstanding body giving advice when everything has been already decided, to the advisory committee, which is engaging with the other stakeholder groups, supporting organizations in the policy development process from its early stage. And recent examples on GAC principles on new GTLDs and close cooperation with the CCNSO on fast track procedure is proof of that. So therefore, I think that this report should reflect in one way or another this tendency, the trend that GAC is becoming part of the policy development process, and the interaction with other supporting organizations and advisory committees is changing in the nature, and GAC is not only providing advice to the board, which is a formal bylaws requirement, but also engaging with others. And maybe it makes sense to see if the bylaws could be changed in a way which reflect this reality, and also provides kind of obligation for the GAC in the future to continue engaging with others on the early stages of policy development processes. That's just a thought.
Thank you, Latvia. Ram, please.
Thank you, and thank you for a really informed and interesting sets of observations. The colleague from Sweden had inquired as to the experience of the board with regard to receiving advice from other advisory committees. Let me share my thoughts as the liaison to the board from the Security and Stability Advisory Committee, ESAC, which provides recommendations and advice from time to time to the board. Unlike advice rendered by the GAC to the board, let me share that the recommendations from ESAC are often considered by the board. But while such recommendations are considered by the board, such advice and recommendations do not consistently inform the board's deliberations and decisions with the same level of gravity as GAC advice does. ESAC, in its interactions with the board, does label its communications variously. Some of its reports to the board are labeled as with specific terminology that says recommendations, others that simply say reports, and others that simply provide observations and information. So there is some categorization in how the ESAC interacts that says that tries to draw the board's attention to some things as specific recommendations that require action by the board, while others are simply informational and reflect the considered opinion of the ESAC. Now, one other thing, the liaison to the board plays an important role in this area. While the written communications and advice are formal mechanisms to communicate, the liaison has both an opportunity and an obligation to provide further clarity and to influence the course of direction of discourse in the board, as well as to point out the consequences of taking a course of action that is contrary to advice from the advisory committee. And I think in this area, the GAC's liaison plays an important and complementary part to the formal interactions between the GAC and the board. Indeed, the GAC's liaisons to various other organizations, including, for instance, the NOMCOM, potentially have a similar important role to fulfill. Thanks.
Thank you very much for that, Rom. I think that's a useful basis of comparison with another advisory committee in the community. Now we have Sri Lanka, please.
Thank you, Heather. On account of the coffee break, I'll be short. Once again, I thank all of you who contributed to the formulation of the wording, and I am glad that we are getting clarity as we move along in the discussion about what constitutes advice and so on and so forth. And I'm extremely grateful for the responses that we have received, especially from the members of the board here. Just a point I wanted to flag was that from a developing country perspective, we value this process both in terms of the nature of the advice and how that is considered to be of really great importance, because that's the only channel we have in communicating policy issues to the decision-making processes within ICANN. There are countries that are able to participate from developing countries that are not able to participate, and thankfully now with the travel support there is more representation possible. But nevertheless, this is only channel we have. So we value this process so significantly, and I want to just flag that point, that from a developing country perspective, we think this advice should be taken very seriously, and whether it's flagged or not is a different matter to be considered at some other point, or we may define that more clearly in the report. But the seriousness of the advice is something that we want to flag in some way or the other, if possible, in this report, or there may be some other way in which this can be reflected. And I also want to concur with what Yanis said, that in the policy development process within ICANN, and I consider this example of the IDN process very, very positively. Perhaps it's time to relook at the bylaws and see the effectiveness of the input given by countries within the GAC or maybe who are not within the GAC into the policy development process, and that can be of added value within the framework of all the decisions that are being taken within ICANN. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Sri Lanka. I think when we draft an introduction to the document, that's really an appropriate opportunity for us to talk a little bit about how governments view the work that we do here and that kind of preparation that needs to take place and so on. So let's keep that in mind. All right, the final speaker, Norway, please.
Thank you, Heather. Just a quick comment to what Katim also said. I don't think we should make a limiting definition of what is GAC advice. I think the European Commission bill said any formal communication from the GAC should constitute GAC advice and leave it at that. And of course, but that does not stop us from giving examples of what we have given as advice as now in the report. So that's a good thing. But not make a limiting definition of what GAC advice is. And of course, then the ICANN board should then act on that advice coming from the GAC according to the ICANN bylaws. So thanks.
Thank you for that. We have had recent speakers bring up the topic of liaisons and the policy development process at ICANN. So I will refrain from trying to draw conclusions from this first section. They're certainly interrelated. And why don't we have coffee? 15 minutes, please, and then we will start on objective two. Thank you.
Yes. No, please, no volcanic ash or whatever.